Welcome to the River of Life broadcast, a weekly ministry of South River Baptist. This year, we are studying the doctrine of godliness. Since we become like the object we worship, we must determine whether we worship the true God or an idol of our hearts and minds. Truly knowing God leads us to authentic, godly living. Grab your Bible to hear Pastor Chris Thompson share simple biblical truth so that you can become more like your Savior, Jesus.
Take your Bibles this morning, and I have actually two sermons that I've got to get in this morning, so you say, oh my goodness, and so I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that's the passage we're on in our study on the doctrine of godliness, and as you're holding your place there at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in light of everything that's happened this week, I don't know about you, but I mean, we're well aware of what's happened with the hurricane, with the flooding, and you know, sometimes we take in a lot of social media, a lot of news media, a lot of stuff coming in, and it's just quite possible that, I don't know about you, but your life can feel as turned upside down by just all the inundation of everything and trying to figure out what's right, what's wrong, what's the truth, what's a lie. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm wondering which reports are accurate, which ones aren't, and it's easy in the midst of all that inundation of information, just getting flooded with it literally, right? That your life can be as chaotic as some of the people on the ground there. You realize that? You get spun around, and sometimes, you know what? We forget this book that we're going to stand and read in just a moment and reads a text. This book for you and me is to provide stability in life. Remember, it's what Jesus said over in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, when he said, listen, if you hear, anyone who hears what I say and builds their life on this word, it will be solid rock for you. So when the storms come and the winds blow and the rain falls, you will have stability. You realize in the midst of a great trial, a great storm, you can stand fast knowing that God is in control. Psalm 46 highlights that for us, right? That you can be still and know he is God, even in the midst of the storm. And so, church, I just want to remind you as your shepherd to be careful not to be so inundated with everything the world is saying that we're not listening to what God has to say each and every day so that you have stability. See, it's from that rock of stability you and I speak to a world in chaos around us, okay? And we issue an invitation for them to experience that stability themselves so that when they are in the midst of the storm, they can know who is the God of the storm and who's there for us and can supply grace and mercy in times of need. And so we should be the church speaking that way to them. So you've got 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hold your place there and then just flip over to Proverbs chapter 3 because I just want to hit this a lick and a promise really quick, because I know there's some questions out there about what we're doing and how the church is ministering in such a time as this. Do you believe God is good? Amen. All the time, God is good. Praise the Lord. Hey, you know what? We never wake up and wonder if he's going to be good. He just is good. He is a good, an omnibenevolent creator, a good all the time God. All good and always, at always, and at all times. Even in the bad things, he's able to work those things together for good. And do you believe this morning, what James would say? Every good and perfect gift starts where? From above, from the Lord. It rains down into your life and my life. The rain itself is a picture of God's goodness as he cares for his creation. Now, here's the amazing thing. Some people are wondering, what should we be doing right now as regards the hurricane? Should the church, what role should the church play in this? Well, I don't know about you, but I realize the government's not going to fix things. Amen? All right, so listen, that means the body of Christ, we don't believe that here anyways, right? We realize God has given us the opportunity, and we're going to see it and seize it as the Lord has. We've done this faithfully for many, many years now. We're going to be that channel of blessing because we know where the goodness comes from. But God spills that into our lives. Why? Well, here at the end of chapter three of Proverbs, the wise man says for you and me, listen, do you realize that there are times of sudden terror? There are times of trouble that come upon us. And in verse 27 and 28, he says, listen, what do you do in those moments if it's not afflicted you or affected you, but it's affected someone else? And so this is just a healthy reminder, church, of what we do and why we do what we do with the goodness God has given to us. He says two things here. Notice this in 27 and 28, and then we're going to jump back and do the sermon for this in 2 Corinthians that we had planned on. So notice what he says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's in the power of your hand to do so. And do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I'll give it when you have it with you. In other words, listen, we said God is good. We agree to that. We realize every good gift begins with him. We realize that God spills that into our life. We are more blessed than we realize sometimes. Amen? But it's in moments like this when people need good, they need assistance, they need help, that you and I have an opportunity, since we know where goodness comes from, we know what to do with it. First, don't delay doing good and don't deny it. Don't deny goodness to those who have need. Listen, when you have it, don't withhold good from those to whom it's due when it's in the power of your hand to do so. Wait, listen, when God fills our cup up, that's not, listen, like in our materialistic culture, listen, well, that's all for me. I'm going to get me some more and keep all I get just for myself. No. You realize, listen, we have an opportunity to invite others to taste and see for themselves that God is good, even in the midst of the storm, because he's been good to us, and that blessing that comes into our life is to be poured out into the lives of others. And that's why I believe the Psalm 67, the missionary song, is all about realizing God's goodness is to us so that those blessings can be shared so that they can discover for themselves the fear of the Lord and reverence him. And so this is an opportunity. We have been blessed. Now we get to choose either to keep it for ourselves or to be a blessing to others. And the greatest good that we give is not just a physical good or a material good or a financial good. It's the spiritual good of the gospel. And so as we go, we're not going to delay. We're not going to deny doing good. We're not going to deny it when we have the power in our hands to do it. Everybody has the potential to do something good, right? Especially believers, we realize that goodness that comes in our life is from him. And so that goodness comes in. And so now we're not going to deny good. You know, we never know when the shoe's going to be on the other foot, right? Where we're going to be the one saying, I wish someone would do good and help me in these moments. Well, see that opportunity and seize it. In whatever measure of goodness God has blessed, beloved, he can fill it back up. Trust me. He does that regularly. But also don't deny it. Don't say to your neighbor, hey, or don't delay it. Don't say, go and come back, and tomorrow I'll give it when you have it with you. In other words, listen, if I have the power to do good, do it today. Don't wait. By the way, Proverbs 27, verse 1 will say, don't boast about tomorrow because no one knows what a day may bring. I mean, you never know. What tomorrow may not be, the opportunity may not be there again. That's why you seize the opportunity in the moment when it's presented and you make the most of it. Too often we delay. It's a cover for selfishness, frankly, and it's and or maybe even sometimes we hope, well, maybe, you know, it'll be forgotten and we can go on. No, these are opportunities that are God's divine appointments to do good immediately. And so Pastor Scott's going to share at the end of the service how we are seeing the opportunity, seizing the opportunity to do good with all the goodness that God has brought in. And let me tell you how that God has brought goodness in. You gave your offering this morning. That's your tithe and your offering, okay? We do that every week. That's faithfully sustaining the ministries that we do here at South River Baptist Church. But there are occasions such as this, and some anonymous donors have given a gift, and they are challenging our church to match it, and they've given $10,000, and they said, let's see the church match that. And so I want you to prayerfully consider what your portion of that is. Now listen, all of these resources, they're not for our tithes and offerings. This is for the hurricane relief that we're doing. You see the 53-foot trailers that are out there? And then one goes out, it's dispatched here going out Monday or Tuesday. It's going to Hendersonville where we've already ministered. We've identified the needs and things that they have. We've been filling it up. You saw the email. It's almost ready to go. The resources have been ordered and it'll be filled up this week and it's gone. And then we're going to have to fill up another one. And beloved, I don't know if you realize, but it's going to get cold up in the mountains in just a few weeks or maybe even next week. And they're going to need different needs, and it's going to be like that. Well, what we're doing, we've found churches that want to do good up there, and we're identifying them, and we're going to partner with them because they're the boots on the ground. They know their community better than anyone else if they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And we're going to pour into them and enable them and help them to go and minister to their community in the immediate needs they have. Why? Because we've been blessed, and God's been good to us, and you know what? We're going to pour, channel that blessing, that goodness into other churches, other the body of Christ expanded there, and we're going to watch God work in and through his people on the ground there. And so we're going to also tell you opportunities that you have if you want to go. And Pastor Scott will explain that at the end of the service. But listen, while we have the opportunity, these appointments, opportunities God gives us, listen, don't deny the good and don't delay the good. Do it while you have it, while the opportunity is there. And the greatest good we're going to bring along with it is the hope we have in Christ. Which brings us to our sermon for today, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You got it? I want you to stand. We've got to get right into this because I preached two sermons. You can tell somebody, man, you ain't gonna believe it. I heard two sermons in one service yesterday. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As you turn in there, we're going to start in verse 18. I'll have to back up to 14, but let's just go in verse 18 to start here this morning. Now, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. What does that mean? Not imputing their trespasses to them. And, notice this, has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Father, thank you for this word, which tells us the responsibility that we have, Lord, to represent you, to be your ambassadors, and to bring a message of hope, a message of peace, a message, Lord, which seeks to make things right. God, may we who have experienced that reconciliation with you bring that word of reconciliation to a world that is in rebellion against its maker. And God, may we do that faithfully in this day that we have, because we only have today. So, Lord, help us to be faithful to do it. We ask this all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Paul, in this section, is addressing, listen, the doctrine of reconciliation and the responsibility that you and I have who've been reconciled to Christ. Listen, I'm grateful this morning that we serve a God who can make things new. Do you believe that? I do. Listen, we have a word that we can speak to those in the West that need things to be made new. And we who have experienced that are the ones that are supposed to bring that message. It's the message of the gospel. And so we want to be faithful to do that. If we've experienced God's work making us new, then we have an opportunity to share that with the world around us. And Paul says, listen, realize this, God in Christ was reconciling the world unto himself. Why? Well, the world was at war with God. The world shakes its fist at the Maker. The world is in rebellion to what God says is the principles to live by. The world wants to define what's right in their eyes rather than embrace what God says is right in his word. And in that rebellion, man needs to be made right. He needs to be reconciled to God. And Paul's writing at a time where there was the Pax Romana. I mean, there was the peace of Rome at that time. And pretty much there was a peace that everyone enjoyed and they prospered. It was a thriving empire. But Paul knew, listen, that the hearts of men were in rebellion against the Creator, the Maker. And he knew that man would never experience true peace. Listen, an emperor may have peace for a period of time, but look at the history of mankind. That's never lasted for eternity. And the problem is little fiefdoms in hearts are in rebellion against the Creator. And so Paul knew that you need to be made right with God and have peace with him. And that only comes through Jesus Christ. And so, because of this, a reconciliation needs to be made. Now, I don't know if you heard that over and over again in verses 18 through 21, but you saw five times Paul mentioned reconciliation, that God has reconciled us to himself through Christ. And now we have a ministry of reconciliation because God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And now he's given us a word of reconciliation so people can be reconciled. Over and over again, there's an emphasis here for a reason. Now, one word that we saw in verse 20, which is critical to underline, is realize we have a responsibility in that reconciling of God. And that is, we are ambassadors or representatives of that truth and for that truth, to speak that truth to the world that is in rebellion with God. Now, we are ambassadors who are supposed to share that message. The message what? That God is reconciling the world to himself through Jesus Christ. Why? Well, again, they're in rebellion. They're in revolt. They don't want to acknowledge God's principles and God's truth. They don't want to live their life according to his precepts. And in their rebellion, as it says in Psalm 2, they band together and shake their fists at God. They want to tear the fetters from him. They don't want to be chained to him or connected to him any longer. They want to call their own shots. They want to make their own decisions. They want to do what's right in their eyes and be little gods. That's the world around us today. And as a result of that rebellion, they are in rebellion, his enemies. But God makes an amazing offer to them that they no longer have to be in rebellion, but they can then become part of his family. That those who are far off can be brought near. That those who are his enemies can join his side in the battle and ensure themselves the victory because he's the one that accomplishes it. Now, Paul is saying, listen, God has given us that responsibility. Now, why do we do that? Why would we be compelled to do that? Why do we have a motivation to do that? Well, back in verses 14 through 17, he says two things. He says, listen, there's something that motivates us that we've experienced so that we have compassion with the world around us to share because we've experienced God's love. And thus, consequently, there should be a confidence that we have to share that with the world around us because we've experienced God's love. Now, the compassion is this in verse 14. The love of God compels us because we judge thusly that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all. Why? That those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. You see, when Christ died, listen, and he purchased us, he paid our penalty of sin. There was something standing against us, our sin against God, and we needed someone to pay that debt. And God being a holy God, he required a perfect sacrifice. None of us in this room could offer it. Jesus offered it in our place. Now, we who come to him, we die to self to put our faith in that sacrifice that Christ offered for us as our substitute. The penal substitution of Christ. He paid the penalty that we deserved. And if we have died to ourselves and experienced God's love, we realize that those who have experienced it no longer live for themselves. No, now we live for him who died for us and gave himself for us. Paul will say this over in Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. He says, listen, that I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Listen to this. Who loved me and gave himself for me. We sang that just a moment ago. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. We can bring our failures. We can bring our addictions. We can lay them down. And our life can be made new. And the love that we've experienced from God should motivate us, compel us, listen, to get out there and implore others, listen, to plead with them to be reconciled to him. Because we have been reconciled. We have compassion on them because he's had compassion on ourselves, on us. And we no longer live for ourselves. We are dead to self-centered living. That's how we once lived. We're dead to our personal agendas and our personal ambitions because now we're alive to Christ. And when you've experienced that love, the only thing that would hinder us, stop us from sharing that with others, is that we're loving the wrong things. We're loving ourselves, our stuff, or we're too attracted to it to actually love God and be faithful to do what we're called to do and to share that love with others. Paul says, listen, I'm driven by the love that I've experienced, the love that Christ has shown me. You and I should be driven by that, compelled by that, to go and share with others. But we're also confident in the message that we're sharing. We're not wavering or wondering, I wonder if this is really something good to share or not. No. We know it, Paul says, because of verse 16 and 17. Therefore, listen, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet we now know him no longer, because if anyone is in Christ, He's a new creation. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Listen, we've been reconciled to God. We were strangers to Him. We were far from Him. Beloved, praise God, we're not the way we once were. Amen? That's the blood of Christ. It's paid the penalty for our sins. And this is the amazing thing. When He died and was buried, He took that penalty for us and then buried our sin. We're not supposed to dig it up and carry it around and wear it any longer. We're made new. We are new creations in Christ. And Paul is confident in that. That's how we regard people. We regard them. I praise God, people don't remember me the way I once was. Amen? They look at me. Hopefully, you're looking at people in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, because of the shed blood, and regarding one another that way as we live for Christ. And so as ambassadors, we are confident to share this message of reconciliation because we have experienced. I love Paul's personal testimony. Right in the margin of your Bible, you can do this. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 through 17. That's his personal testimony, one of many that he gives. But what he says over there is this. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving all acceptance. In other words, listen, what I'm telling you is true, and anyone and everyone should be able to believe it. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that's true. And everyone should believe it. And Paul says, of which I am the chief or the foremost. Paul says, look at my life and here's what's true and certain. Jesus came to save sinners and I am the bottom of the bucket. I am the worst of all sinners. I am the chief sinner. Why? Because in me, Christ could set an example for anyone else to believe. Now stop and think about that. If you and I are confident that Jesus has saved us, when we realize, you know what, I'm just the bottom of the bucket. If he saved me and I'm on the bottom, he can save everybody up above me. Amen? And that's when we get humble and we realize that we're just down here. Praise God. Let me tell you what Christ has done in this heart, this wretched heart, what God has done for me. Because if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. And as ambassadors, you're confident of that because we've been made new in Christ. I've got a word, you've got a word, we've got a word to share with everyone all around us. That means your coworkers, students, your classmates. It means those on your ball team. It means anyone, everyone that you and I come into contact with. It's a trustworthy statement deserving all acceptance. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and that's everybody, amen, of whom I'm the worst. Paul would say. And when we realize that, we will share. Because the love compels us. We've experienced that in our lives. And there's a reason why I want to share and tell others. Listen, Christ can save you. Let me tell you where I once was, but let me tell you where I am now. And the thing that changed it was Jesus Christ. And I was far from him, but he reconciled me through his blood. And because of his sacrifice. And so Paul says, we are compassionate in sharing that because we've experienced the love of God. We're confident in sharing it because of what God has done in our life. And he's entrusted us with this ministry of reconciliation. You see, all things are of God, verse 18, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now listen, you and I, all of us have a ministry to help as the body of Christ, the representatives of God here on this earth, to help bring those who are far near. Those who are enemies with God, to bring them to be on his side. To those that aren't in the family of faith, that haven't experienced the mercy of God, that are still in darkness, to bring them to experience the mercy of God and to bring them into the light. God has given us that responsibility as his people. It's a ministry of reconciliation to go and share. And you say, well, you're the preacher. We got evangelists. It's their responsibility. No. The whole body of Christ, we all are, commissioned by the Lord as his disciples as we're going, wherever we're going, to do one of two things, to either reach someone or teach someone to obey what Christ has commanded. And all of us have that opportunity. You are in areas and locations where you are God's instrument. God gave you that job. God gave you that home. God put you on that ball team. God gave you that club that you're in. He gave you those opportunities and put those people around you and me. Listen, why? So that we can be faithful with the ministry of reconciliation. And those that are far, hopefully, to help them take one step closer each day, one step closer until they come over on God's side instead of being enemies with him. And the message that we bring to them is the word of reconciliation. He has committed to us that word. Why? Because, see, God is reconciled. Do you realize God made man in his image? Do you think God wants that image to be in hell? No, he wants it to be a glory bearer in heaven for all of eternity. Jesus said over in Matthew 24, 25, he said, listen, hell was made for the devil and his angels. It wasn't designed for God's image. It's the result of their rebellion and rejection of a loving God whose spirit is convicting them of sin that they have committed, not sins, sin, the particular sin, it says in John's gospel, of not believing in the Son. That's why they go to hell. They reject God's wooing of his spirit. They reject the light that God has given them. They don't respond to it. And as a result, they accept the consequences, they get the consequences of their choice. But our responsibility is, listen, is to share with them, listen, you're far, but you can be brought near. Look at my life. And so your life and my life should demonstrate that, because we've been made new and we have a new way of living and a new way of thinking and a new direction in life. And so we plead with humanity and we go to them and we say, listen, Christ is God at work to reconcile this world to himself. And how does he do it? He doesn't impute their trespasses against them. He doesn't put the charge against them. Praise the Lord. Listen, you and I had, listen, in our record of sin, the penalty for each one, doesn't matter how small it was, how big it was, what size or flavor it was, it doesn't matter. You know, they all deserve the same penalty, death. The wages of sin is death. It doesn't matter what size it is. We all deserve the same penalty for that sin, whether you've committed one or 5 billion of them, it doesn't matter. Just one. In fact, if you're guilty of just of not doing the law, in one point, you're guilty of the whole thing. And what we deserve, the penalty we deserve, is death. Now, here's the amazing thing. Christ doesn't impute that charge against us when we put our faith and trust, and we repent and put our faith in that sacrifice that he offered on Calvary's tree. Why? He died in our place for you and me. Praise the Lord. Praise God this morning. And what's imputed against us, praise God, David learned about it. He sang about it over in Psalm 32, in Psalm 51. He sang about his great sin, and he said, the blessing of those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is not imputed against them, there's no charge against them. He knew he could sing about that, and we should too, because that's what Christ was doing. God was doing in Christ, not imputing the trespasses against them. Why? Because he died in our place. And instead now, he's given us the word of reconciliation, the message of the gospel that we can share with anyone and everyone, that Christ died for you. And it's God's desire that you come into the knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy chapter 2. That's what God's desire is. What truth? What is the truth they come to the knowledge of? Well, you see that there's one God and you're not it and I'm not it and they're not it. And that what we deserve because of sin is the penalty, which is death. But that God sent his son Jesus, and here's the truth. He died. He really did die. And he paid the penalty. He lived a sinless life. And the truth is this. That penalty was sufficient. When he said, "It is finished," nothing more was needed. He did everything necessary so that, listen, you and I could repent and say, God, have mercy on me. I'm a wretched sinner. I can't save myself. But I see Jesus who died on the cross, and I want to put my trust in that sacrifice and rest in it. And thank you for loving me and changing my life. And I want to follow him as my Savior and Lord. It's amazing. When you and I make that profession of faith and the Spirit of God has changed our heart, our lives are totally new. Brand new. Praise God this morning. Praise the Lord. And because of that, we've got something to share with the world around us. And we should be confident. You know why? Paul would say over in Romans chapter 1 that the gospel, listen, he's not ashamed of it, because the gospel is the power of God to bring salvation. It is the power of Almighty. You stop and think for a moment. God spoke and there were worlds. That's pretty powerful. God can speak a word, the gospel, and there can be a new world, a new life in somebody's heart. That's amazing. So listen, as we're going and ministering, even in the West with these who have great physical needs, they have financial needs, they have material needs, all those things right now, we're also going to bring with them the one true good that they need, which is the gospel, so they can be reconciled to God and experience his peace and be made right with him. And this is an awesome opportunity for the church to be the body of Christ and be faithful ambassadors, representatives of our King, to a world in rebellion against him. You understand ambassadors. We think of ambassadors, you know, from other nations. Like right now, you may not realize this, but on Saturday, Russia recalled their ambassador. He's left D.C. He's flown back with all his cryptic stuff from his offices and all their secret files and everything. They've called him back, right? And that makes you wonder, why would they do that right now? That's another sermon another time. But anyways, what's significant about that is, listen, he no longer can represent that empire. He can no longer represent that government, rather, here in America and speak for them as he would as a representative of those governing authorities. They've been called back. Now, you and I right now are ambassadors of a king in heaven. Listen, we represent his kingdom. By the way, Jesus said, listen, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and that's what his disciples do, and the righteousness that goes along with it. So as we live our life, we live in this nation, we're citizens of this land, praise God, and at least right now, praise God, amen, in that republic. But then we also are citizens of that flag, what that represents, his holy nation that we're a part of. And you and I have a responsibility. If you have life and breath today, you say, well, why am I still here? You're still here because you represent him, and you and I are supposed to be bringing this word of reconciliation to the world around us. That means where you work, what you do, listen, the ball team, where you go to school, where you play, what clubs you're in, whatever it is, you are an instrument to be an agent of kindness and to be bringing that word of reconciliation to a world around us. And God has given us many opportunities to do that. Let's see it and let's seize it and realize this is an opportune time. Every day is supposed to be an opportune time for us as believers. Paul says, listen, we've experienced this and now we are pleading. God is pleading through us. We are imploring you on Christ's behalf. Be made right with him. Now listen, all of us should have in our heart someone that we're burdened for that's far from God, that they would be brought near. And we should be praying for them, pleading for God, listen, and pleading to them as though God's Spirit is just, we've experienced this, and man, we want you to experience it because it's so good. And it's freed us from the penalty we deserve. And now we have a living hope. And we're looking forward to that day. Amen? And I can't wait to get there. But while I'm still here, while you're still here, we share that with the world around us who desperately needs to hear it. We have the truth. The world's filled with lies. We have the light. It's shown in our life. They're still in darkness. They can't see. We've experienced the love of God. They're nothing but a world of hate and hatred. We're the ones, listen, that now have been made right with him, reconciled with him. We've got peace with God. And we can tell them, you know, he wants to have peace with you. He wants you to be at peace with him. Now, that God's entrusted that to us. He's given us that. And this is the amazing thing. He made him sin, who was not sin, so that we might be made right with him. You see, what an amazing word we can share. When things aren't going right and you're not right with God, here's the amazing thing. You can be made right, and you can be made right through Christ, because that's why he died on that cross. That's why he shed his blood, to take our wrongs and nail them to a cross and bury our guilty past in the grave so we no longer have to carry it around, praise God, and now you and I can go and live free. Man, that's a wonderful, amazing message. It's too good to be true. And it is true. It's just simply amazing. And so we should be burdened for those who haven't experienced it, who are dying in their sins. They will be separated from God for eternity if they don't repent and place their faith and trust in him. And all of us should be burdened for at least one person to experience, to come to the knowledge of the truth and recognize that. I mean, we should be pleading with them, burdened, shedding tears for them, and that God would change their eternal destiny and they would realize the significance of where they stand and only how God can make it right through Christ. And if you've experienced that forgiveness and we've known that experience, listen, we want to share with others because God's given us that responsibility. He's given us the word of reconciliation. He's provided the source of reconciliation for those who are far to be brought near. In the days ahead, that's what we're going to do, but we should be doing that every day. Bringing that message of help and hope in Christ to a world around us that desperately needs to know him. Have you been reconciled to God? Are you fighting against him, rebelling against him, shaking your fist at him? I don't want to deal with anything with you. God's imploring you today. He's saying, no, look at my nail-scarred hands. They're wide open. Do you realize how great my love was for you? That I've paid the penalty and I want you to come to me. And he does that. He's open. That's wide open for everybody. Those arms are wide open. Anybody and everybody can come. Even this morning, if you've never come to Christ, you can do that this morning. You can repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in the only sacrifice that will get you from here to there and make your life right. And you can experience that today. Man, praise God, your life can be made totally new. I mean, you're always worried about a makeover, right? Listen, you want a makeover. This changes you on the inside, and then it flows to the outside. And the world around us should see it. And so maybe you've experienced that. But maybe you need to ask yourself, wait a second, are they seeing that in me? Am I bearing and bringing that word of reconciliation to the people God's put around me? And here's the amazing thing. As the children of God, we're all in different places. And we're going, and we have different circles and areas of influence. And we should see that opportunity to be a blessing. And then corporately as a body, when we come together in catastrophes and disasters like this, we go and we bring help and we bring hope, but we point them, be made right with God. Listen, in the midst of a storm, he is the only solid rock that you're going to find. Trust in him. And we're going to be faithful to do that. But you and I have to be faithful to do our own part individually. And first, we have to experience and be made right with God.
Thank you for joining us today on the River of Life broadcast. If you want to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please call us at South River at 704-876-1520 or email us at hope@southriverbaptist.com. We also want to know how this program has blessed your life. Please send us a note and let us know you are listening and how our church family can pray for you. We invite you to join us here next Sunday or at our church location at 2659 South Chipley Ford Road in Statesville.